Welcome, everybody, to Mormons on Mushrooms. Just a reminder that this is a storytelling podcast where we discuss alternative methods for healing from trauma and seeking a more fulfilling life. A lot of times on the podcast, we discuss triggering topics, and we ask that you make your personal mental health top priority. Lastly, the opinions offered by our guests don't necessarily reflect the opinions of the hosts. Sit back, buckle up, and enjoy.
I wish we could just introduce you again. I mean, we're like, recapture the magic of meeting you the first time.
Well, there was a lot of love there, which was very nice to get, because I think we all just kind of heard about each other, but now we're finally meeting.
Yeah, this is
so great. This is Jonathan. This is my love.
This is me.
He's here. Finally.
Can you repeat the part about being more handsome than you thought again?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Did I say something like that?
I mean, you're just as handsome as I would have expected, but you are vibrant. Like, you know, a picture is one thing. I think anybody who knows me knows that a picture is one thing, but like when we're interacting and we can see each other's movements and kind of pick up on our vibe, it's just cool. Like, you're really vibrant. I see what Shalice loves about you already.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. No, so I don't know if the audience knows this, but when you guys do these podcasts, you actually do it through Zoom so that you can see each other specifically, so you can pick up on that body language. And Shalice was saying that you tend not to interrupt each other in that way. And it's really smart.
We try not to interrupt each other. It happens all the time now.
Yeah.
It's the best we can do living on in different places. You know, there's a magic when we're live. You know, Doug and I did one live one together, and there's a magic to it. So maybe someday we can just do live, but
someday.
Right now, this is what it is. But Jonathan, we're joined by Jonathan, Shalice's mate.
Yeah, we're going. We just made our 4-month anniversary a few days ago.
Yeah,
it's funny because at the end of each month, we kind of make a big deal about it. Like, no, we've made 2 months. Now we've made 3. So the story that we want to tell, which we'll get here into in a bit, is our 2-month anniversary, how we wanted to celebrate that. But yeah, I can't believe it's been 4 months already. The part of what's, I think, is interesting about how we met was, so I know Shalice has kind of set me up a little bit in previous episodes, but we both manifested each other. We, on the same week, wrote a list on our own accord of what we wanted in a partner. So very intentional. And we got on the dating app, Hinge specifically.
The same week.
And within
3 weeks.
Within 3 weeks of both being on there, we found each other. And then we immediately hit it off. And it wasn't soon thereafter that we were comparing notes. And we're like, wait, when did you do your... Like, we wrote this on the same week. So we basically, you know, made each other happen, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you've compared those lists. Like, have you seen one another's lists?
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a little bit of a trip too, to like read and be like, oh, is this what someone thinks I am? Like, do I meet up with her list or his list? That's pretty fucking dope too, right? That's a cool experience probably.
Well, especially because I think we put so much emphasis as we travel through life on finding that person, that it's almost a little bit scary when you do find it, because it's like,
wait,
is this search over? Is this it?
Is this real?
Now what? I'm so used to it being the carrot at the end of the stick that now it's like, okay, now I just have to embrace this.
Wow.
So there's a lot with that too.
Well, Jonathan, I don't know if you know about the Mormon dating timeline, but about right now is when you should be putting a ring on it.
Yeah. The 3-month mark, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Now the time when I think my father-in-law sat me down and was like, what are your intentions with my daughter?
Oh my gosh.
No, I hear that. And if we were really on the Mormon time frame, we would have already met when we were like 18, and we would already have like 5 kids, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, y'all are a little behind on the pumping out kids kind of thing. Like, but you know, that's only according to the Mormon timeline, which is a little skewed.
By the way, I do want to say, because it's something that I really enjoyed. So I've spent a lot of time just by happenstance in Utah the last couple of years. I never would have thought life would have brought me that way, but I've met a lot of Mormons and ex-Mormons, and everyone, 100% of them, everyone, Utonians have been amazing. Yeah. They're just super friendly, super hospitable, just welcoming. And I know Shalice was telling me, well, a lot of the people that are Mormon, you know, watch out for that, because it could be a little bit of a facade. I'm like, well, but I think I've also met a lot of ex-Mormon. She's like, well, those are the ones that, you know, for sure are from their heart, are just genuinely nice people. So yeah, no, anyway, I love people. You guys are from Utah too. Yeah.
I'm from Idaho, but Idaho and Utah are very, especially Northern Utah and Southeastern Idaho are kind of the same little place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm from Utah.
Nice.
And there's the lovely people there. They're lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. People are awesome. Where are you from, John?
Yeah. I'm from Chicago, and I grew up on the West Side. So very inner city, that cliche story, single parent mom, no brothers and sisters. And I'm Mexican and Cuban, and my culture was Mexican growing up. So I was born and raised Catholic. Similar story in that I kind of had a letting go of the religion probably when I was 15. I never really liked the church. And there was something that happened where, I think it was around the time my mom wanted me to go to catechism, I think they call it, where it's just like, you're basically taking the next step. And we're like, all right, you're going to take this seriously as a member of the religion. And that's when I was like, mom, I just really don't want to do this anymore. And she kind of let me go off. And at the time I kind of turned to atheism. I would say I'm a lot more agnostic now, just kind of open to just saying, I don't know, which may be a cop out, but also I do think that it's like a really honest approach. But yeah, I mean, I had my own, you know, I think everyone has like some level of trauma in their life, and maybe growing up without the dad led to some of that for me. But I always just wanted to be in control, of my situation. So any kind of phobias I've ever had have always had that central theme of needing to be in control, which is where I think shrooms comes in, because it's really just about letting go of that control.
Oh, funny you should bring up mushrooms, because we would love to hear. I mean, and you did a really good job of sort of like weaving that little pattern, because you kind of teased us with like, oh, a cool thing happened on our 2 month thing anniversary, and then kind of backed into how you met and comparing notes, and then your history and Catholicism. But then you just, I don't know if anybody else was paying attention. Sort of intersected those beautifully. So
thank you, guys.
He's a storyteller.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. He's a natural.
Yeah. So, I mean, my fear is to keep talking. So Phil, I don't know how much of your podcast.
Oh, this is an audio medium. So we would love it if you kept talking.
So part of that control. So I used to, Shalice wants me to bring up my ex roommate. So there was a girl who I lived with for a total of 8 years. It was just a great dynamic. It was like a brother sister dynamic. And she always wanted me, she was like a burner. She's the type of person that really is open to just, you know, trying alternative things. And she always said, Jonathan, I think that mushrooms would be perfect for you. You know, you're this whole control thing that you have, and I think that it would open you up. So I always had it in my mind that I wanted to try it, but it was kind of finding the right guide to do it. Because I think, and this is something, a question I have for you guys, is the fear that goes into it. So for me, I'm very susceptible to mind altering substances. So in my life, whenever I've done something, I tend to do it in like real small doses, just because I feared like being out of control. So when we finally did it, which we're leading up to that story, there was still some of that fear of like, okay, how much should I do? Is this the right decision? What if I have a bad trip? You know, everybody worries about that. Yeah. So
this was your first time you hadn't tried mushrooms before.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when I met Shalice, it was almost obvious that like, oh, okay, I found my spirit guide when it comes to this journey. So I don't know if you guys know what it's like dating. This is for your audience. A Mormons on Mushrooms co-host, but you walk into their apartment and there are clues, a lot of mushroom art, psilocybin books off in the distance. On our second date, just to give you some context, we were here at her apartment, and Shalisa's like, "Hey, you want to watch a documentary on Netflix?" I was like, "Yeah, what are you thinking?" She's like, "It's called Fantastic Fungi."
Yeah.
Of course you want to watch that movie, which, by the way, is an incredible documentary where you just like learn all the different things that mushrooms can do. And as it goes on, you're like, wow, this is like an amazing thing.
Such a cool one, right? And I don't think we really mentioned it yet on the podcast. Maybe we have, but yeah, such a good documentary.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I realized with that was the network. So on the surface, shrooms all look like they're their own little thing. But if you go under the soil, they're all connected.
It's the mycelium network.
Yeah, which is a really great metaphor for the brain and synapses that are going on. And it really does feel like it's this plant that's evolved with humans, you know, and they might have maybe that theory that, you know, we were the monkeys that ate the mushrooms.
Stone Ape. Yeah.
So I found Shalice and I was like, yeah, OK, I'm ready to open up about that talk of trying mushrooms for the first time. So she was totally on board. She's like, let's plan a trip. So
like an actual physical trip.
Our 2 month anniversary, we went to a cottage in a small town about an hour away. We live in Los Angeles, so it was just a little bit north. And my ex-roommate, her and her boyfriend actually grow. They're really into, they call it plain science. In their place, they have all kinds of different strands and they've really perfected the art of it. So she was giving me all of the, here's what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to, doing it at sunset's a really good time. Make sure to stay hydrated. I had a short list of things to prep for. And Shalice was just like, don't worry, I got you.
I was like, you're good. I got you, babe. Don't worry.
Yeah. So we show up in this quaint little Airbnb and in the small town. And it was 3 days, but it was specifically for this event. And so we immediately started turning it into this ceremonial space, got the making it more homey and cozy. Getting blankets out,
putting them on the floor,
pillows and the whole thing. And one of my favorite experiences of this whole 3 day trip was, so we made it a concerted effort to try to stay disconnected from phones. And, but so a little bit about me, I'm a DJ out here in SoCal. I do events, but I mostly do weddings. So, and I love music. So I get to connect with couples at very exciting times in their life over music. And music to me is an interesting way to get to know someone's soul. And it, you rarely get to do that. So whenever I start dating someone, I'm always like, let me look at your playlist. You know, let me see what you're about. And to this day, I'm still trying to figure out Shalice when it comes to comes to music.
I told him, I was like, babe, I grew up under a rock. Like literally, I know nothing about music. Like top 40 is all I was ever exposed to. So
yeah, which is interesting because I think there's a lot when it comes to music of being excited to show someone something like, oh, you haven't heard of this artist or that or this or that. So there's a lot of that excitement.
Well, it's also showing sometimes someone a piece of you too, right? Like, oh, especially a song that really speaks to you or an artist. And it's like, no, this is kind of a piece of me here. I'm sharing it with you. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So we're trying to unplug. We're like the living room is the most of the space of this Airbnb. And they had this huge TV and you turn on the TV, there were the apps, you know, the Netflix, but there was the Spotify app. And I'm like, oh, let me log into Spotify. We go to log into Spotify. Someone else is already logged in. Her name is Kayla. And you can see her profile there. So basically her soul is exposed to us.
And he's loving it. He's like, babe, we can peek into her soul right now.
let's figure out who she is. Cause I could tap into my stuff, but it'll be way more interesting to like on this 3 day trip, figure out someone else too. So, yeah. And she had great taste in music, by the way. There's a lot of like lo-fi, chill wave, some like indie folk, some indie alt. I was like, I was impressed. I was on board. So the day comes to do it, and Shalice was very much be intentional with setting why are we doing this? And for me, I already had it set. Like, okay, I'm trying to be vulnerable and let go.
And fasting.
So I was told to do 2.5 grams, which
no, 1.5 grams.
Well, 2.5 is usually what like the average person takes on their first time. So if I was concerned about doing too much, do closer to 1.5. And then if I feel like I need to do more during the trip, but proceed with caution because you don't want, you know, doing like another gram. So, you know, we did the whole shrooms in the palm thing and looking at it and setting the intention, and then we took it, and then we're off to the races. And then, so I'm going to let you take over the story for a second. You, Shalice, you put on Kayla Spotify that like.
Yeah, I put on the East Forest Mushroom album.
Okay. Yeah.
It was like, this is the vibe. This is what we need to do.
So I'm glad you called it an album too, Shalice.
Yeah. Not a playlist. Yeah. Yeah. So I put on the album and we laid on this couch. We like moved all the cushions. So it was a pretty wide couch. We could both comfortably lay next to each other. And I just remember the best part was we had this blanket and I lay down into his arms and I was like, yes, this is exactly where I want to be. Just that like comfy, cozy in his arms situation. And so we're both kind of laying there and just talking and waiting for it to come out. I mean, we had some lemon ginger tea that we made to also help. And then I just started laughing. Like, I don't know what it was. I've never gotten the giggles before, but I definitely had the giggles where I just couldn't stop laughing. And then he would laugh and then I would stop. And then randomly he would be like, hey, who's got the giggles? And then I would just bust up laughing again. Like, I just couldn't control
it. It was
myself.
Very joyful. And as I was starting to descend, or maybe ascend,
yeah.
I was real, that fear that I had going into it, was I could just feel it. Like a weight being lifted, be like, oh no, this is the opposite of fear. This is like what you want to lean into, which is, you know, being connected. Everything that they say is true, guys. If you're thinking about doing shrooms for the first time, is you do feel connected to the people that are near you, but then also you start thinking about everyone else. There was a moment where I started thinking about just figures in my life that I don't even know, you know, just like public figures that. They're like a positive force in my life. And I did start crying. There was one moment where I was like, I just really appreciate that this person exists, you know?
Yeah.
The whole thing was so meditative. It felt very like it was almost like, oh, we're taking time out to do a check-in on not just self, but how do I perceive the world? Which I thought was super incredible. So it's funny because we went into the experience where Shalice was going to be like the guide and she was going to do a little bit less than me, but it
ended up sounds familiar, right, guys?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've been down this road before. I heard this story. Yeah.
It ended up being the opposite. Yeah. My experience was kind of living vicariously through Shalice because I just observed myself observing her kind of go through this experience. And so, yeah, tell them about your past life.
So that's why this is so funny and why I mentioned it the last time we talked about our San Francisco trip, because it just, the medicine hits me so hard. I feel like it hits me harder than most people. And so I'm always off in the cosmos. They're like, maybe that's part of my thing is just allowing other people to observe me or helping them through something specific while I'm going through something. I don't know what the deal is, but anyway, so I'm laying there and I close my eyes. I'm like, okay, here we go. It's happening. And he was holding me, like, you know, he had his arm around me. I was kind of nuzzled into it. And I would kind of flutter my eyes open and see his face and like go back to closing my eyes. And then I looked up. So my eyes are closed and I look up and I see him holding me, but we're in ancient Egyptian times. And I was like, oh, well, this checks out because that always happens. And he's this gorgeous Egyptian man. And I see this really strong jawline because I'm looking up at him as I'm laying on the floor. And I was super peaceful, but I noticed that he was frantic and he was calling for help. And I realized in that moment that I was dying. I was literally dying in his arms. And all of these moments flash back because, I mean, it's only 2 months at this point, but for whatever reason, he would randomly look at me really serious and be like, hey, don't let anything ever happen to you. I'm like, okay, I won't, like in real life. And so in this moment, I was like, oh, maybe that's why he's like so scared of something happening to me, because I've died in his arms in a past life. And it's this through line and it's like, we found each other again.
Well, what's crazy too. So in that moment, what's happening, unbeknownst to her experience, I'm just kind of looking at So I wear glasses, contacts. I have horrible vision. And I was wearing glasses that day. And I know that you start to see visuals. So I was like, okay, I'm definitely seeing patterns here with my glasses on. And then when I would take my glasses off, the patterns look way different. So that experience. Oh. So I opted for the no glasses because I just thought those visuals were more interesting. So I'm like looking at the visuals and looking at her. And in a moment, I see, so she has her eyes closed and so Shalice is beautiful. She's vibrant. And in that moment, she looked elderly to me and she looked like she was on her deathbed. And I could almost see the breath escaping, the last breath escaping. And I was looking at it, I was like, all right, let's not go down that journey. Let's go look back to these visuals over here.
And my hands, I'm trying too, to, you said.
Oh, yeah. And then your hands felt very, yeah.
Like brittle.
We're like a corpse. Yeah, cold and just stiff. So, and I'm trying to keep it light for myself, you know, so I'm like, all right, let's not do that. But then later we compared notes and we're like, oh, at that same moment, basically Shalice was dying in two different versions, her version and my version at the same time.
Isn't that wild?
That's so weird. Yeah. I love that. I love those shared kind of like, I mean, it comes across differently, but then you start talking about it. It's like, oh, we were in the same space having the same experience. And we weren't able to vocalize it or maybe even describe it in the moment or in that altered space. But then when you like backtrack and you're comparing notes, it's like, wait, what the hell happened here? We had the same experience. That's cool.
We realized it was the same moment because it was like right after I had that vision, I just felt this extreme love and gratitude for him, like so much that I started crying. And then when he was like, yeah, I was looking at you. And when you were crying, I saw you as this elderly woman. I was like, that was the same moment. Cause that was the only time that I cried in that journey. So that's how we knew it was the exact same time.
Yeah. Wow. It ended up being, I mean, overall, it was just like an A+ experience for me. I mean, I wanted to be in my body a lot. So I stretched a lot. There was a moment that was kind of funny where, so I'm like jumping around doing things and Shalice is just in her cocoon on the couch and just like staring at
the
me.
Cocoon. Oh, wait. I want to tell him real quick about, speaking of cocoons, the other vision that I saw before you got up out of the couch. So like after that moment of dying, I saw this visual of a butterfly. I think it was a blue butterfly. Have I told you guys a story yet?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was a purple butterfly. So I saw this purple butterfly and it landed. And then this blue butterfly came along and I was like, oh, that's Jonathan. And I was like, oh, I bet we're going to like split in half and merge. And it'll be like a purple wing and a blue wing. And it'll be like two halves make a whole, you know, like that whole thing. Yeah. But that's not what happened. He landed on top of the purple butterfly. So when the wings went up, it was purple. And when the wings went down, it was blue. And so it was cool. Two sides of a whole coin and it wasn't a half and half situation. Ooh. So it was really cool symbolism to me. And it also, I kind of got the impression of it was like a reflection. So he brings out a different side of me and I bring out a different side in him, but neither of us were halved. We were both two complete whole beings that came together and made something even more beautiful. And just really, what would be the word? Just emphasizing each other. Or
it's interesting to me that in both of those little anecdotes there is a similar theme of duality and reflection.
But it is really cool symbolism because you think of it and like I'm thinking of it in like the Bible. I think it's the Bible where it says you're two become one, and they talk about with marriage, right? And becoming one. But you kind of do feel like, okay, I'm going to cut off this part of me so then I can merge with this part of you. And then together we'll be one being. Mm-hmm. But then that's where that codependency or enmeshment, or like you become, you lose a part of yourself in that process. And right. So what a cool imagery where it flips it like that. And yeah.
I just think it was cool because in my head, I knew what was going to happen, which is why people may say, oh, well, you create your own vision. But I was expecting it to cut in half and then something totally different happened, which is why I'm like, that didn't come from my brain, or at least not from my conscious thoughts, because that's not what I thought was going to happen.
So get this, guys, we're in the middle of having this amazing spread of fruit that Shalice had already put together beforehand. So in the moment, it was like, look at all this spread. You know, this is amazing. Where did it come from? It's like,
this happened.
Look at the fridge, babe. There's so much. This pomegranate, which, by the way, pomegranate is amazing. We're in the middle of this, and that album that Shalice put on, that's basically the soundtrack, the pulse of this experience for us. All of
and
a sudden,
I was like melting on top of you.
Yeah.
You're laying on the floor and I was like melted on him. And we're like, are you melting? Yeah. I feel like I'm just you now.
Shalice wrote, cause she's multi-talented. So one of the things she does as well is write. And she writes for like a column. She writes articles. And she wrote about this our experience with it. And there was this description in that moment where you do finally manage to crawl out of the couch, off the couch and on me. Cause I was up on the floor at that point and I'm like, I'm proud of you, babe.
Good job, babe.
Making strides here. But you describe when you were on top of me, you were melding into me. You describe it so perfectly. It was like, you felt like steel, like merging steel, but then you also felt like you were floating at the same time, which is like, yeah, that is kind of how it feels. So we're in the middle of this. The music abruptly stops. So if you can envision the TV with Spotify playing and it just stops, and then we both just snap our heads up and look at it. And all of a sudden, like Green Day starts, or no, it was Maroon 5 starts playing. We're like, what the hell is this? Because, you know, we're like, this is going to affect our trip. But is it glitching out?
It's like a ghost had the controller and it was way across the room and we could see it flipping through different things, different channels, different songs.
And then I'm like, babe, Kayla just logged on to her Spotify.
We're in Kayla's head
right
now.
And she's probably like, what the hell is this shroom music? And then at that point, I was like, well, now we're like for sure. And like now we're like in her mind because like we're seeing her decision making like in real time. And then I had this feeling of, is this intrusive? Like, are we invading? Like, should we not be in her mind or her soul? So we ended up opting out and we finally logged out. But then soon thereafter, I was like, it would have been cool to try to communicate with her. Like, we pick a song.
Like, Hello. Yes.
Hello by Adele.
Yeah.
And then see if she would catch on. And that would have been really interesting.
But it was funny because I don't know if you had mentioned earlier about your phone. You're like, what should I do with my phone? Or I was like, just put your phone away because you won't want to look at it. And when he was trying to log into his, he's like, letters are hard. Looking at this phone.
They get all squirrely. They start like wiggling and vibrating and stuff like that. If you're looking down at that thing trying to text, I get rid of my phone when I'm tripping because I can't figure out how it works. And it gets a little squirrely on me.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Because I'm asking everybody who tries the plant medicine how they feel about this. So my overall take, like I said, was A+. And I even said it to Shalice that day as I was kind of coming down. I was like, oh, this is something, because, you know, it seems like you do it sparingly.
Yeah.
But this is something I could see doing like every week, like once a week, like every Sunday, you take, you know, part of your day to do this.
Space.
And so far, the feedback I get from friends that like microdose or just have done it, they're like, no, what'll end up happening is the plant will basically kick you on your butt and be like, you need to respect me and you need to see it that way. So you could try it, but that'll probably happen. So my question to you guys is, do you think that's accurate based off of your facial expression? I think maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think that what others have told you about it, kind of the plant itself kind of slows you down on that kind of thing. It's like, you know, I can go out and have a pretty fun night of drinking. And then the next day I never want to drink again, but then it's like a little hair of the dog to kind of get me feeling a little bit better. And then I can, you know, drink even the next night. I don't, but I can, you know, same with weed. I can smoke weed every day, but with the like mushrooms or LSD, or, I mean, especially something like ayahuasca or something like that, it's kind of like, you know, the integration part really is the trip is fun. You get a lot of insights. You come face to face with yourself, your shadow, that kind of stuff. But that can get real tough if you're not doing the integration work in between. And it kind of, personal experience, I wouldn't be able to do mushrooms every Sunday and just like be like, yeah, cool, let's do mushrooms. It's Sunday, you know, type of thing. It's too heavy for me. Like, I got I got shit to work out in between sessions of tripping. Mike, I'll let you take over from
there. Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to add a little bit to that, because I think there's an element too of, I don't think there's like a set amount of days you need to wait in between. And I think sometimes if you're being called to it, to do it more frequently or weekly, that could be a good thing too. But I think there is an element of the intention you're bringing in, you know, garbage in, garbage out, or intention in, you know, the energy you're bringing in is what you're going to get out too sometimes. So it depends on what energy you're bringing into it. And if it is like, oh, let's just have fun every weekend, that's fun. People choose your adventure, you know? Oh, but if it's also like I'm doing healing, I do think for if you're using it for healing and getting to know yourself, there is, like Doug was saying, a real value to let that experience stand on its own and then integrate that experience. And then when you feel like, okay, I've integrated that, now I'm feeling called to another one. I think for self-healing, it feels like the right timeline for me, even though it's going to vary person to person and what that length of integration is. And depending on not just person to person, but what came up in a specific journey too. Some might be harder than others and you need more time afterwards to really let your psyche absorb and integrate. It. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this gets into, this is maybe not as cool a road to go down, but it comes up with this type of thing. You know, we're pretty, I think, vocally in favor of legalization of these. Decriminalized nature is a really good motto to have, right? I mean, this shit grows out of the ground, but it's also a double-edged sword, because with legalization comes a handful of rich old white men who control the distribution for money, and they need us to have the habit of like, oh, this is a thing that we do every so often, or every this regular scheduled time to do it for it to work the best. And so it's hard to kind of that dance in between, like the legalization versus them not being quite legal type of thing. Some stuff comes with both sides of that, because when legalization comes, it's going to come with it a pretty big ad campaign, a pretty big marketing train to make sure everyone can get it and get it through the right supply chain and get it from the right supplier. And there's certain people who control that distribution and make money. And so, I don't know. That's why I want to be clear. I love Mike talking about choose your own adventure. And that's why I want to be clear. It's everyone's own thing, what they have the capacity for, what they feel is helpful to them, what they're doing as far as having fun with it, that kind of stuff. But me personally, it can't become a thing that I'm like always tripping. I can't, because then it becomes this real weird thing of becoming reliant on that and my reality shifting a little bit and not knowing what reality I'm actually in. Did that make any sense? Of that?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of good stuff in there. Yeah. And to be clear, I did mean it from, I guess, a healing perspective. And I mentioned earlier, it's very meditative.
Yeah.
And how beneficial it would be to take some really intentional time to say, okay, I'm going to check in on myself and then check in with how I feel about things. But, you know, you mentioned integration, which I think, yeah, I guess that would be the reason to not do that, because it's like, well, yeah, what did we learn from here? And let's do the homework on that. You know, it's the therapy in that sense. I find it super interesting. You know, everyone so far that I've spoken with about it, that is in like this kind of community, they reference the plant in like this regard where it's almost like it's alive, where it's like the spiritual thing, where like
if consciousness of the plant.
Yeah. Like if it calls you, it's almost like it has your best interest in mind, and it also has its own intention and it's there for you. Like you hear it a lot with ayahuasca. There's like that brings a spiritual element to it, which I think is really interesting, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, y'all watched Fantastic Fungi. I mean, there's something, but I mean, those plants are communicating, you know. Shalice mentioned the mycelium network, and it is, it's a live organism. It's an entity, right? And to project onto it that it has some kind of what we understand as some level of awareness or consciousness, I don't think it's too far off. You know, I think that probably people could make arguments on every side of everything, and there's scientists and there's religious people and there's hippies and there's everybody, but it does certainly have some level of awareness of its own spread, awareness of its own connection and communication. So I do consider it fairly its own living entity that has its own intentions and I'm careful about consciousness using that word, but awareness anyway. Mm. Yeah.
Great observation, by the way, insight about the what's going to happen when it does become legal, because I think that most people would agree, like, yeah, legalize all, or I don't know if most people would agree, but the people that do agree, legalize all drugs. There are benefits to that. You know, now the government can tax that, pull profits from that, as opposed to, you know, out of taxpayers' money or pockets. Or you maybe the drugs will be more pure because now there's this like entity that's, you know, kind of looking over it. But where plant medicine stands is interesting because it's like, yeah, where is the line between recreational and this healing thing?
Therapeutic.
So, you know, you do mention this, like the marketing campaign behind it. Yeah, well, then that is that campaign going to come with disclaimers about the differentiation between recreation and plant medicine? It's going to be interesting when we do hit that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, in the way of like, what type of, I'm just thinking, Doug, like when we went to the reggae festival, we met those, that like beautiful couple who brews, and I say brews cause I think they brew it in a cauldron, a cauldron.
I think she uses singing bowls as her cauldron. Oh no, what? That's her mixing bowl. And then she boils it in a cauldron. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah. So mushroom chocolate, and they infuse it with crystals and love and healing, and also all the different types of mushrooms, not just psychedelic ones. And I love tripping on those things. They're just magical chocolates. But I think of it like, okay, great. It's legalized. I want it to be legalized and available, but then is it just going to be some factory in a lab somewhere making it? Which one would I rather have? The one that's like from the lady who's brewing it in her cauldron at home, or
yeah. Do you want it from a like a trippy witch who lives in the woods and sings like ancient Icaros into it while she makes it?
Yes.
Or do you want it coming off the factory line at Moderna or Pfizer or something like that? And you go into the, you know, there's clinics probably, but also you go get your prescription filled for medicinal mushrooms. It's like, no, come on. I don't know. I'm banging the drum of decriminalization and legalization, but I also am pretty aware of like, but that also brings its own set of problems and exploitation, I guess.
Right. Misuse.
So how do you feel about the microdosing? Cause I know a lot of people, and I have friends, several friends that do it for like anxiety or just kind of keeping them at a certain level. How do you feel about that? Maybe for a more recreational purpose. Like I'm going to do, like I drink a cup of coffee every day, not just because it makes me feel productive, but I just like the feeling it gives me.
There you go.
Would you be anti that for microdosing?
No, absolutely not. I think I do it for that reason anymore. Like when I first started doing it, it was for anxiety. And now I don't like the term anxiety as much anymore. It's like, okay, what's my body saying with the anxiety? Like fill into that. And the microdosing helps me fill into that. And so in a sense, it helps me with that quote unquote anxiety, but it's also like, oh, when I do it, especially if I'm going to like be playing the guitar or writing some music, it's like, Tyler Meesom, our guest, called it juicing in a way, right? Like creatively juicing. And I think it's use it for that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
There was on our come down of our story, our day when we did it, I mean, I could only imagine that I was like, oh, this is probably, I feel way more functional, but I still feel a little polished to the world. This must be what microdosing feels like. I wonder if that's true or not. There's only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think everyone's experience with microdosing is slightly different, but it's one way to find out. It is, I you know, as someone who spent years daily taking an SSRI for my mental health, I would much prefer microdosing. You know, if you're doing microdosing the way it's kind of intended, you're not consciously aware of the effects as far as like, you know, you're not having visuals, you're not kind of tripping, you're not any of that. It's literally working in the subterranean regions of your psyche and body and stuff like that. And I think that's of huge value to most people, you know?
Yeah.
There was a funny moment when we discovered the sun. So we decided to do it during the day
and not at
sundown because, I thought it would be better to kind of fast in the morning and then have the experience. And then you have the whole day to kind of like process what happened instead of just going to sleep right away. And so we had the blinds down because, like, just to give you a visual, this town looked like somewhere in Idaho or northern Utah. It was like so small, just pine trees everywhere. It's a little ski town.
Snow-capped mountains.
Yeah. Very crisp air because this is November. And so we had the blinds down because we didn't want people like peeking in and seeing us going wild. And so we
just
finally,
laying on top of each other. Yeah, like, oh, like, those people must be on drugs.
So, Jonathan walked over and opened the blinds and just this ray of sunlight was coming in because it was probably what, like 4:35 or something.
It was hilarious because I discovered, oh, babe, look, the sun just, you know, hitting me in the face. And I'm like, oh, you have to experience the sun. Like you need to, I look over to her cause she's like 10 feet away, but on the floor. And then the sun is like blasting her too. She's got this huge smile on her face. I was like, oh, right. You don't have to be like, over at here. The window. Experience the sun. So like I'm that much closer to the sun. Yeah. Oh my God, it was a funny moment.
To the solar.
Funny thing. That's a long 10 feet.
Yeah.
And I think if there's anything to take away from our story, it's that fear that one would have of letting go. You got to just kind of do it
and surrender.
That intention is a great intention to have for the first time because it will take you. That feeling that I had where I started to have the alleviation of that fear and realizing like, oh no, this plant is love in a nutshell. And when you start to feel that you get it, it clicks, you know, like, oh, this is why we do this. And go ahead. Yeah.
No, sorry. I didn't interrupt you. I was just going to add to that, please.
Oh, so yeah, no, Shalice. So I always tell Shalice that, you know, we manifested each other, but to me, she's always kind of represented love to me. She's the sweetest person. She just emanates it. And that was like my final moment with the plant before I started coming down. I was like, oh, Shalice is the mushroom. Shalice is love, you know? And anyway, I just wanted to add that little bit there. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I hope that the mic picked up that little kiss. That was perfect.
I mean, the mic picked it up.
The mic picked it up. I picked it up.
I've been just like watching you guys the whole time. I love it. You guys are glowing and I'm loving just watching you two interact with each other. And it's, yeah, I'm loving it.
Well, and Jonathan, I know you got to get going, but there's one thing that you said I really love that goes along with what you were just talking about as far as that fear going into it and the losing control, because it is possible to take a dose high enough that you really have no choice but to go down some of those paths like that you're just leaning into. It just takes you there. But you started with the kind of dose that you even said it when some things were going south for you, like when it was like an area you didn't want to, you know, you take glasses off, but looking at Shalice's hands, looking at Shalice's face, and there's some areas that you didn't want to go down. There's huge power in having that ability to say, do you know what? No, that's, I'm not ready to go down that path. So I can actually just change the channel and go down a different path. Whereas, you know, if someone's on maybe a higher dose and we're in the, like the 5-6 gram area or something like that, they don't really have that choice. They go to those places and it can be scary. That loss of, personal accountability, control, ability to change channels or change directions when you want to. So I think that you had like, just like a, sounds like a perfect first experience. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. I agree. I think that next time I will do a little bit more. Maybe I might do that standard 2.5 grams, if not 3.
Yeah. Why not?
Let's guys, thank you for having me on. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, same. I mean, geez, it's funny. We've heard so much about you, and it's all true. Like, we're sitting here with you, and it's just all true. It's very cool. Yeah, you're awesome.
And the way you tell stories, you're so articulate and lovely. And I don't know, I'm crushing on you right now, man.
I think the feeling is very, very mutual. And congrats on what you've accomplished. You guys started in June of 2020, and look where you're at now. You guys are just bursting at the seams with people that want in on the community, what your plans are with the festival that's coming up, and these meetups that you're planning on doing, and just expanding this awareness to people that just need it. So kudos to all that.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thanks.
And are you saying you're coming to the festival, Jonathan?
It depends on the dates, because I might be working, but
yeah, we need to look at the dates.
But I hope to.
Love to have you out there, man.
We'd love that. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of the day.
See you. All right.
Bye, love.
Okay, girl talk.
Girl talk. Don't we love him?
I love him, man. Girl. I really like him, man. I keep saying man, whatever. I really like him.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. And that was really fun to have him on, hear that. Just like, I love the story. I love seeing you guys tell the story together. It was perfect. And I think that the time worked out perfect too. Hopefully it wasn't too rushed, but I think it actually... we got there, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. I think it was just a really cool, what would be the right word? It was like a grounding experience for me, and a confirmation is probably a better word, that we're meant to be together, even if it's just for right now. Like, I feel like this is for the long term, but if it's not, I feel like what we experience together now is exactly where we need to be. Seeing him in a past life, which we all know, like from previous episodes, I'm a big believer in past lives from my experiences that I've had, and him seeing me like simultaneously in either a past life, or maybe it was a premonition. I remember asking him, like, do you think seeing me as an old woman dying in your arms was a premonition of our future life together or another past life? He's like, oh, I don't know.
I mean, it can be a lot of things. That's the cool thing about like the mushrooms, right? And the unconscious, and it could be a past life. It could be a premonition. It could also be like a symbolic of him learning to let things die, even things he loves in their, you know, like sitting with that and like, oh, I might love this thing, but here it is dying in my arms, and realizing letting go of things that you love brings forth new life, and learning about the cycles. And so it could be either of those or all of the above. Which is kind of cool too, right? Yeah.
It made me just feel even closer to him. And I was like, wow, if we really did have a past life together and we found each other again, it's like, it's relaxing to be like, oh yeah, this is where we're supposed to be.
Yeah. Shalice, I don't know what I would say if I didn't mean this. So I guess that's my way of saying that I mean this. Like,
okay.
He's awesome. Like, I know it's like, you know that and you love him and he's your person, all that kind of stuff. And you've told us about him, but you know, until you really meet a person, it's like, he's full of life. He's just like so charismatic and vibrant. That was what a cool guy.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And I picked it up immediately. I mean, just like, as soon as he came on, I'm like, oh wow, I like this guy's energy. I like his vibe. And then to see the two of you interact, it was beyond adorable.
Aww.
It was adorable. It was cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for letting him come on. And because I thought, he's such a good storyteller, and he's a writer and director. So like, that's his passion. And he's really good at finding the themes and weaving things in the perfect way. So I knew it would be more interesting to have him tell his side of the story too.
Yeah, that was great.
Anything else coming up for you guys lately?
I could say a thing that maybe could start a conversation.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's been a weird week, and the theme for me of this week seems to have been just like hammering itself into my heart and into my brain of ethics, responsibility, whether that be personal or when seeking out these medicines. You know, we talk, I think, a lot about the therapeutic nature of what we are trying to do the healing from a toxic past or a toxic entity. But there's still danger in these things. There's danger in the wrong set and the wrong setting. And I'm not saying right or wrong as in like, okay, you have to do everything a certain way and we're going to give you the prescription on how you have to do this stuff. But I'm thinking a lot about personal accountability. It's great to have people to help you. It's great to have guides. It's great to have people you like to trip with and our little groups and our little retreats and all that kind of stuff. But all of this, call me whatever you want as far as like taking into my own, my just personal accountability and my own freedom, not taking it for granted. The only person that I can rely on, that I have to rely on, is me. As much as I rely on the two of you, and as much as I like tripping with you, and as much as I like tripping with other people I've done that with, as much as I've benefited from having a good guide and having a good ethical therapeutic relationship with those guides, that can change. The only thing that I can rely on is that I'm the variable in that. I guess I'm the constant. I'm the constant in every experience that I have. And I hope people are feeling that. And it's been really, really a hot topic for me this week of, if it is to be, it is up to me. There ain't anybody else here to save you. There's nobody here to lend a helping hand. Sure. Stand on my shoulders from time to time. Sure. But we got to walk these paths on our own. And that's what the healing journey is, right? It's not about like, oh, I did some mushrooms. That was fun. I should do more mushrooms and go, you know, go nuts and go wild with it type of thing. Anyway.
There's several things with that, Doug. Yeah. One is you were talking about set and setting and also the dose. I think we can come from a mindset of like, you know, everyone's had those nights where they drink one or two, or not everyone. So at least I've had these nights. Hey. Like,
yeah, not everyone.
Especially ex-Mormons who are learning to drink for the first time, you know. Oh, yes, you have those nights where you have one or two too many, right?
Right.
And you feel rough the next day. And I know from like maybe a physical standpoint, having an extra gram or two, you're going to be fine physically. But, you know, these substances, we're opening up, cracking open the psyche with these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Doug, you were talking about changing the channel earlier. There's some dark, scary things that are kind of come up from the subconscious when you're lifting up that lid, especially when trauma is involved. And as ex-Mormons, we have trauma, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, you do have trauma. And so you pop that lid off. You don't know what's going to come out of that lid. And there's that safety in like the dose that Jonathan took. And I don't know what his past is in trauma or whatever, but to be able to, oh, I see that coming up. I'm going to change the channel. I'm not ready to lean in there yet. And if you go on a big dose, you don't have that option. You're in it for the ride. It's going to come up and your psyche might not be ready for it. And then it might come up and it's such a scary experience that really you don't integrate it afterwards. So you really didn't get that benefit that you thought you did by, you know, just jumping into big doses too. It's just not, there's just a danger to it. And it's interesting, Doug, all the things that have come up this week for us around these themes. And yeah. I keep going to this thing of like really trusting my gut and learning to trust that. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard for ex-Mormons where we were taught to not trust that part of us for so long. And so we have this weird, well, we're taught to trust it and not trust it. So we have this weird relationship with our intuition or quote unquote, the spirit or whatever you want to call it. But really honoring that, I'm just thinking of times when I haven't honored that lately and it's always been right. You know,
when I'm happens. Really, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, go. Yeah.
Oh, I was just thinking of, I think at least for me, what happens within Mormonism is selective hearing. So trust your intuition. if it's the answer that we gave you. So yeah, do pray and read your scriptures and ponder, and they teach you personal study is like a huge thing. You're supposed to be praying all the time. But if you come up with an answer that the church doesn't agree with, then you must not be doing it right. And so I think when it comes to intuition on mushrooms, it's like, okay, I'm having these intuitive hits, but where is the answer of like, someone tell me if this is the right answer or not, because I don't really know. And so there's a lot of doubt, self-doubt. And for me, it took a while to really decipher what my intuition actually was and how I could follow it and listen to it and realize that no one's going to be giving me the answers. I just need to know within myself, does it feel right? If I ask my heart, does it feel right? Or am I feeling this out of fear? Or like, where is it coming from? And it's just like, it opens up this whole world. It's exciting of intuition, but it's also really scary. So yeah, I totally agree with that, Mike.
Well, and it's, oh, sorry, Mike, you were about to say something.
No.
Oh, here we are back to interrupting each other. You know, we had a good flow going with John. So, you know, we talk once in a while about reclaiming certain Mormon concepts or things. You know, we recently talked about primary songs as one of those things.
I love that episode.
Fun, right? It's kind of fun. And Mike singing is just like the perfect way.
It's so good.
But, you know, in the Word of Wisdom, it talks about, it has that line, moderation in all things, you know, which is a great line. That's a great life philosophy, I think, like just moderation in all things. But then the putting into practice within Mormonism doesn't exist, because it's like, if there's a good thing, it has to be all of you. Like, you have to all in, like, you know, the church as an identity, you know, doing Tuesday night mutual or young women's or young men's, or doing the service projects, or, you know, standing in all places at all times, being a representative of the Lord and going to church and doing all the, like, it's your whole identity. And so it's not moderation and all things. It's not like, oh, we go to church on Christmas and Easter, because it's like a good reset and it kind of gives us a good vibe. It's like, no, within Mormonism, it's like, you're either all in or you're out. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that that remnant comes with us a little bit. I think there's something very human about it. And then it's augmented by Mormonism where, okay, we get into, Mike, you mentioned drinking. It's like, oh, if I'm going to be drinking, it's got to be all of the drinks and I got to get drunk until I pass out type of thing. Man, you do that once. I mean, you do that once or twice in your life and you're like, yeah, that's not for me. You know?
Yeah.
Same thing with mushrooms. We don't have to be like, there's not a specific way to be. If you experiment with these or work with these medicines, it's not like, okay, now your whole identity has to be this thing. And I gotta be a guide, or I gotta quit my job and live in the woods. You know, all that kind of different stuff. Like, that works for somebody, cool. But there's no obligation to be anything within this little community. It's the same side of the thing that we talk about with no hierarchy, no one telling you what to do, no one speaks for your life other than you. The opposite is true too. It's like, look, you don't have to feel obligated to join a new club just because you left your old club. And this is the tenets and bullet points and beliefs of the new modality. You know, that's what I've been thinking a lot about this week. It's been heavy on me. I still like to watch NBA basketball. Fine. I'm happy to do it. Pleased to do it. I used to think that if I was really going to get down this, you know, trippy dippy Mormon mushroom hippie community, I was like, oh, sports are so pedestrian and I can't get into sports. No, dude, I love basketball. I love watching it. And I like drinking a beer while I watch a basketball game.
Same, or one or two, three. I just want to talk a little bit more about this, getting back into the body and feeling it, you know, because what you're saying is right. Like, there's no pressure to go all in, no pressure to do something that, it's also not resonating with you, you know? And I know that gets hard. And Doug, we had to make a couple difficult decisions this week And we were chatting about it before, and we were thinking of like, all right, let's go through the different decisions that are available to us. That was a good exercise for me, because when I was saying one decision, you can feel it in like your gut, right? This like, yep. Oh, and even though it's a hard decision, it was like, oh, it's the right one. It just resonates. You got that, like that feeling, the warm and fuzzy, or and for me, it was more like a
felt the spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it just resonated, I guess is the best way to say it. It just like, you felt like there's a certain vibration that just resonates. And you're like, oh yeah, this is the only choice, because I mean, it's not the only choice, but it's the choice I want to do because it's the one that really resonates. And so, you know, we've talked about this before in the podcast about your fuck yeses, and until it's a fuck yes and you feel it in your body and your body's responding in that way, if parts of your body aren't responding in then wait till it is a yes. And you feel that somatically, not just in your head, not a pro and con list where you like, which one has more on one side than the other. No, what do you feel, and honoring that. And the more we do that, and the more we honor that and get that trust back with our bodies, better off we'll be, I guess.
I love that.
The decision we had to make, that was a hard decision, on whether it was to pull that episode last week.
Yeah. Right.
And I don't want to get into any of the details. It's not my story to tell. It's not our story to tell.
Right. To put anyone on blast.
No, it's just the... the best... And I know it's weird. I mean, you know, we release an episode and we pull it. The conversation around safety and ethics and the shadow side of psychedelics is such an important topic that we should have done. And that's why we even said in the episode, it should have been like one of our first episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm okay until we get it right. Until it's right on all accounts.
Yeah.
And so we've already lined up someone else to come and speak to it. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a great episode, and we're going to hit on some of the same, it might be some similar things, different things. I don't know. I don't know if that's okay. I'm really struggling with words to say, other than I want to get this one right. And I don't care if there's a couple attempts until we do. I don't know. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, I think that was perfect, Mike. Just maybe to add to it, it's not our story to tell. It's not our business as to why we pulled the episode, but the school that Jake came from is under a little bit of fire right now with the ethics conversation, and because he was there, that conversation. You know, Jake's in the vicinity of it. And so based on who's had experience with that school or that those guides or those teachers, people there, you know, that's it's the court of public opinion, and it is not our role to be in the middle of that. That's a private thing that's going on from that school, and it's their thing to deal with. And we don't want to be involved in it. We want to respect the privacy of those who are involved. And this is not the place where we're going to air those different sides of different stories. And everybody's got their side of a story. And the ethics conversation in this space is huge, and it's important. And I think we're going to keep having it, and we're going to keep finding more and more people who can come on and talk about their experience with that, and maybe good experiences, maybe bad experiences with that. But it has to be done in a way that there's full consent, and that it's done responsibly and appropriately. And really the biggest part is that this isn't our story to tell. It's got to be someone else's, if they want to talk about it. Our version of our story is to talk about our experiences with this community, And it's our role to talk about the importance of ethics and responsibility within our realm of influence, not anyone else's realm of influence. So that's just between what Mike and I have just said, that's the reasons that the episode was pulled. And we didn't. Well,
and you said one thing there that I really love, Doug, is I think when we released the episode and then because of people reaching out to us afterwards, we realized there's a lot more. There's just what happened with the school up at the CCM is still, it's still in flux. It's still going on. It's still drama. It hasn't run its course yet, you know? And so I don't want the message or our podcast to be wrapped up in that drama.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not our story.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think it's a topic and you're already on it to record and put out again. I mean, because I brought it up even with my friend who overdosed on San Pedro, remember? I was like, there is a dark side if you do it improperly. And he didn't have a guy that was experienced and she gave him way too much and it like physically and mentally hurt him, like very much so. So I think it's a topic that we definitely need to discuss so people understand that it's not just sunshine and roses and you can't just go off and do however much you want and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And maybe there's a way of just like saying that, you know, there's just more raw emotion or energy circulating with the school than we knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things are still too,
raw, too
hot, you know, and it's just not something we want to be mixed up in.
Yeah.
Especially an episode about this topic.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a conversation that we all need to have surrounding ethics when it comes to psychedelics and making sure that you feel safe, even out of the psychedelic space, just in general. Weren't you guys talking about bringing on someone to have a specific episode around that?
Yeah, multiple actually. I think this is probably long overdue. We do want to create an episode, two episodes, three episodes, whatever it is that people can reference back to that is providing listeners or participants with at least some kind of guide to ethical and responsible use of these medicines and also ethical and responsible interaction within communities of people who use that. That includes guides, that includes tripping with other people, that includes the concepts of consent, you know, freely given consent, informed consent, all of that kind of thing. I think we probably will do multiple episodes around this topic.
And I love approaching it from different angles too and hearing from women. And then the subjects are, I think one of our first guests to talk about it will be a woman. And, you know, or other people who feel vulnerable or, you know, feel maybe a lack of safety entering in some of these spaces. And so hearing it from those perspectives, I think it's going to be really important. So yeah, I think we're gonna have a number of episodes on this and I don't think we can hammer home the point enough.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different angles, a lot of different perspectives to hear from on the subject.
Right. I know we kind of briefly mentioned it on the episode we did with Peter about the psychedelics for dummies by dummies or something.
Yeah.
Where I was just mentioning boundaries and asking someone if it's okay if you hug them or rub their feet or help them in through a psychedelic experience, just to make sure you get consent and do that in the proper ways. It makes all of the difference. So I'm glad that we'll have full episodes on that because it is needed.
Well said. Yeah, it's long overdue.
Perfect. All right, guys.
Cool, guys.
Very cool.
We did it. All right.
Okay.
I'm happy you guys got to finally meet Jonathan. Let's do an in-person thing soon.
Yeah, yes, I'd love to. Please. Okay, guys.
All right.
Love you.
Well, love you guys.
Okay, bye. All right.
Love you. Bye.
guys, thank you so much for listening to Mormons on Mushrooms podcast. We have so much fun recording it. And if you love it, we would absolutely love it if you could leave a review on wherever you get your podcasts. It would really help our visibility so more people can listen to it and be enlightened and hear our crazy stories. So thanks again for tuning in.